the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in to the Roundtable Podcast. We've got a fun topic today. We're going to talk about disciplining your kids, and we'll kind of share why we chose this topic. Don is kind of like the guru. He's got six kids, and they're all awesome. And I hear I'm puffing you up.
I know, it's very bad.
Yes. Oh, I am going to say, for all you, all our fans and our listeners, Don is officially credentialed as a pastor now with the MB Conference, and he just hit his interview out of the park, home run. And I'm going to brag about our youth pastor here, because usually they credential youth pastors like on a different level, and I don't want to say lower level, but it is. They say, well, now you're kind of credentialed in the youth pastor realm, and then they have a different credentialing for lead pastors and kind of head guys, and everyone said, no, we need to credential this guy as on the highest level. So if you attend MB Church, we are very blessed with a great youth pastor who is now going to take over. And it was funny in the car ride. He said, just so you know, like, I'm not going to try and do anything tricky here and take over. I said, good. All right. Because we would.
No intention.
Yeah.
To usurp the throne.
Yeah. And I said, no. Jesus is on the throne. We're both bowing down to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So anyways, we want to talk about disciplining your kids. What does the Bible say? How should a Christian parent go about? Is discipline different for a Christian parent than a non-Christian? How do you do this? How do you raise your kids? And I guess more so, not just raise them to be nice kids, how do you raise your kids to hopefully one day love and serve Jesus? Because really, that's the point, I think, as a follower of Jesus. When you discipline your kids, you want them to know and serve Jesus. Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, maybe, Don, why don't you share a little bit about your own kids? How many kids do you have? I guess I already said. Are they all at home?
All been easy. We have six kids, three adult girls, and we have a 16-year-old boy at home and an 11 and 10-year-old girls at home. So we've had lots of good times doing this whole discipline thing. It's, kind of been a fun journey, very challenging, and yeah, lots of mistakes made along the way, and just when you think you got one figured out, the next one, God is not that boring. He sends a totally different, so you got to start over and learn.
Wait, there's not one book that tells me how
so
to...
So whatever you have with Ruby, Lucy, throw it away and start over with Ruby.
No! Dang it.
And the reason we got onto this topic of discipline, too, is that the last week or so, it's been fun hearing Andrew share his journey through the toddler discipline days.
Yeah. So we have a 3.5-year-old Lucy, and then a 1.5-year-old Ruby. And
well, do you notice the difference between them in characters and how discipline might play out?
Yeah. I mean, they're both little terrorists, so just how they go about it.
Yeah, it seems like Lucy's much more open about her hostile takeover, where Ruby's kind of just checking this out, how I can slip in under the radar.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so yeah, we've had fun the last month or two, and I say fun like in an ironic sense. With Lucy is 3.5, and she's kind of entering into her. Well, but I'll say, man, she's been defiant since birth because, and we'll get into that. But she's entering this, testing the waters. Are you guys actually in charge, or am I in charge? And I'm not going to listen. I'm just going to choose to disobey you for no real good reason, just because I want to. Lucy is also taking up lying, which we've kind of, it's been good. We nipped that in the bud, and so it kind of seemed like it's stopped. But yeah, just through just lying about stuff and just stupid stuff that's like, hey, did you take that? And she's like holding it. No, I didn't. Like, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. Did you take Ruby's toy, her doll that's red, and she's holding it? No, Daddy, I didn't. So it's just been fun.
Yes, with the six, you know, kids we raised, too, it's just been interesting how some have been, yeah, very open about their rebellion, and some, you know, try to be very compliant, and just one word can crush them. And yeah, just so different. And it definitely seemed like Andrew was saying that they all at some point in their, you know, 2 to 3 and a half try to take over or try to see, okay, where's the boundary, and just made a very deliberate attempt to see where things are at. So,
So as we talk, we're going to talk kind of generically and not get into really, because I mean, there is debate. Do you spank? Do you not spank? And if the Liberal government is eavesdropping on us, we don't spank our kids. But we really, like, I mean, Don talked about it before. Like, I think methodology is not what it's important. It's, and we'll get into it, but consistency and how you go about disciplining and the gospel in that. And so whether you spank or time out or ground your teenagers or take stuff away or make them do chores, like whatever the methodology is, I think, and like Don is going to share, each kid is different. So you can't say timeouts work for all kids because they don't. Mm-hmm. And so to not be so tied to methods, but more how can you be consistent in your discipline regardless of what kind of method you use? So we're not going to get into you shouldn't spank your kids or you should spank your kids. We're just going to talk more generically, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess we should start in a place of, and you kind of mentioned it, but are kids born sinful, or do they have like an age of accountability where all of a sudden then their sinful nature comes out, like at 4 or 5 or 6? Or because honestly, there is debate on this. So I don't know, Don, I'll throw that
to
you.
Well, even David himself in Psalm 51 says, I was sinful from my mother's womb, like from birth.
And he was kicking his mom in the womb. Sinner.
But I think if we're honest, I mean, even with our six kids, even as babies, they're, you know, very demanding when they're going to get fed, and you know, when they're alone, they're demanding, and they grow into, yeah, 1-year-old, 2-year-olds, and very self-oriented, to say it nicely.
Yes.
And as Andrew was saying too, like lying and all these things are all things that just come naturally.
Yeah.
You're not teaching your kids how to be, you know, bad. They just come at it naturally. You're constantly trying to correct this stuff.
Yeah.
How to be others oriented, how to be obedient to your parents, because these all things are resistant to one degree or another.
Mm-hmm.
So sinful from birth.
Yeah.
And it just manifests itself as they get smarter and older.
Amen. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Genesis 3, the fall happens, and I think it's in Romans 5, it talks about that sin is passed on, and we all have this sinful nature given to us because of, it's passed from Adam, it says. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is desperately wicked, and who can understand it? And even as I've been studying a bit, even in Jeremiah 30, it says that it's incurable, mm-hmm. so you can't cure the human heart apart from Jesus. Romans 3 talks about no one is righteous, no, not one. We're all wicked. We're all so. And then, yeah, Psalm 51, David makes it very clear. Yeah, I was born a sinner. So I think there's a level of innocence, sure, because like they just don't know. They haven't experienced all this depravity and sin, but they're still wicked.
Yeah.
And the hard part is that you look, and I remember, you look at your kid, you look at your baby, and you're like, oh, man, they're just innocent and perfect. And it's like, no, put your feelings aside. The Bible is just clear. From birth, you don't have to teach someone to sin. They intrinsically sin. And I love that you said self-centered. It's so true.
Yeah.
Even now, our both of them, it just, the world revolves around them. They're turned in on themselves. They want what's best for them. And like I said, Lucy lying, like we didn't have to teach her how to lie. She just knew how to do it because mm-hmm. of her sinful nature. And I just, So on one hand, I'm like trying to discipline her, but on one hand, I'm like, theologically, this is fascinating. I was telling Molly, like, did you notice that? Like, you just see depravity lived out in your kid. I'm like, we didn't have to teach her that. How did she know that? And it's not like we watch kids' shows and there's no lying in there. And it's just amazing that she knows how to lie. And I've shared this story before. Even at like 1 year old, I remember she was doing something. I sat down with her and was like talking to her and trying to discipline her. And she just like, I forget if it was a kick or a punch, but she just like struck me. She just in anger. I'm like, where did that come from? My 1 year old. So kids are born sinners. We're all born sinners. And so then you go, okay, so knowing that about my kid, how do we, I don't know where you want to start. How do we go about disciplining them? And like I said, the goal is not, hey, great, my kid's a model citizen and a really nice person. Yeah. Because I think you've missed the mark if all of a sudden they don't love Jesus, but hey, they're really nice. It's like, ah. And if, and especially, I guess maybe I'll read Ephesians 6, verse 4. It says, fathers, so Paul specifically kind of calls out the dads, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So that's the goal.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you want to start. I'm going to throw it to you.
I think that's kind of where you were going is the important part, because there's a lot of voices out there today that would say it's just culture, it's different things that are causing kids to disobey. If we just kind of clean up their culture, put them in a proper environment,
sure,
then it'll be good. And those, that's very tempting for our young families to go with that, and that makes us very afraid to discipline.
Yeah,
because other voices say, well, if you discipline too harshly or discipline, you're there's chances you could damage them.
Hmm.
And so then there's these voices saying, well, they're not that bad and you'll damage them if you discipline them. So now we have to make a decision. Are we going to believe God's word, which says from birth they are sinful?
Yeah.
I'll just read a couple of verses from Proverbs 13, verse 14. It says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Now, the rod comes in there, but the idea is that discipline is something you do because you love your children.
Yeah.
So these voices that say, oh, discipline is too hard, that could damage. No, the Bible actually says if you don't discipline, you'll damage them.
Yeah.
So leaving them is not an option because they are born sinful. They need discipline and training.
Yeah.
And I was just going to read from Proverbs 23, it says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. So maybe you don't want to use the rod.
Should we be using?
Half inch is best. Half it doesn't inch. Break when it hits.
It's the rule of thumb. If it's smaller than your thumb.
We weren't going to go there.
Oh, yeah, right.
So yes, in the good old days, there were rods. There were, and some of you, if you're a little older, will remember the V belt and some, you know, whatever.
But what was that word?
The V belt, like V-belt. The canvas V belt from.
I thought it was a German word. Give him the V belt.
But it says, "Don't withhold discipline. They need it, and save his soul from death." So he's acknowledging that yes, they are sinful from birth and they will need discipline and training, but now why? Just to become good citizens, and that's where we can be content with knowing that our kids are good people and they're not going to embarrass us, and often that's probably the key. They're,
really? Yeah.
They don't want to embarrass us,
and
they won't. It'll look good on us that, hey, our kids are towing the line, but they might be far from God. So yeah, the point is training in the discipline and to the Lord, then it's very different where we're headed for. And so each one, it kind of will, as Andrew was saying, that fathers, not to exasperate your children, but to bring them up. So you're going to have to learn how your kids are kind of wired. And discipline might, I know for my one daughter, just saying a couple harsh words, well, that was enough to crumble her.
Yeah.
And the next one, it takes a little more convincing that, no, this is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I had to wrestle through that. I, you know, getting your children to stop lying was just kind of satisfying just to stop there, but then to go, why are we stopping the lying?
Yeah.
And why would God want us to stop lying?
Yeah.
And he doesn't lie. He is holy. And then you start adding that to the picture because we don't want them just to stop these things or behavior modification.
Yeah, totally.
Which comes, and many of us have struggled with this coming into our young adult years and trying to figure out our faith. We end up just trying to be good enough, and that's what God is after when he's not.
Yeah.
It's obedience out of love and relationship, not duty and fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but there still is this healthy fear that has to happen.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think you struck a few good things there, like saying that in our culture, and I think it is a largely like with my generation and some of these young, it's like we're afraid to discipline our kids. There's this fear of, I want my kids to like me. I want to be best friends with my kids. And then I think there is this, and maybe it's a reaction to, I don't know, over-discipline and like coming down. It might be, I don't know. But there's this like, I don't want to raise my voice. I just want to let them kind of figure it out. And I've had conversations with lots of couples kind of in their 30s, my generation, where that's the case. It's like, no, we don't raise our voice in our house. We don't. And it's like you're trying to reason with kids to like, let's treat them like adults. I've heard that, right? And I'm going to help them see the error of their ways. I'm like, really? Have you ever tried to reason with a 3-year-old? It's not going to work. It just doesn't work. But I think that's part of it. There's this, or maybe it's just, you know, discipline is really hard. It's just easier. And maybe they'll, and I've read some stats where lots of parents just kind of shrug their shoulders and go, well, we'll just pray that they turn out okay. And I just, you have to enter the battle. It is hard. Discipline is really hard to be consistent, especially not just, because discipline in the Lord is different than go sit in a timeout. Okay, now your timeout's done. Okay, you've been disciplined. It's a lot harder to, okay, how do you discipline your kid? And like you said, so the lying thing, how do you explain to them why we don't lie, why lying is a sin, instead of just saying it's wrong, don't do it, right? And I think that's where maybe Paul's talking about exasperating or provoking your kids, where you just discipline and you're not explaining. And so then, of course, they'd be annoyed or provoked. Why do I keep? Because no one's taking the time to like explain to me why I shouldn't lie. So I think it is like I'll share the story from this week. Like it is exhausting. So I'll share, I guess, two. So Lucy, when she started lying, it was like, okay, we need to do something serious because, I mean, the Bible clearly says that we aren't to lie. And so keep in mind, she's 3.5, but I still want to take this opportunity to teach her about law and teach her about grace. Okay, maybe I'll back up. So before we share these stories, when you discipline in the Lord, you're trying to teach your kids the law of God, but then also teach them the gospel. So it's the same kind of thing. Like the law, when you think the law, Paul says in Romans, the law is powerless to save people. What was the law for? The law was to show us how bad we were. And the gospel of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, that's what saves us. But nowhere in the Bible does it say the law's bad, the law, oh, good thing we can just throw out the law. No, Paul says the law is useful in showing us how sinful we are. So I think Christian parents, when you're disciplining your kids, you're trying to show them the law, to show them how awful sin is and how none of us can measure up. And then in moments when God gives you opportunities to then show them how sweet the grace of Jesus is. Yeah. Because it's really easy to just do the behavior thing where you go, we don't lie, stop lying, or sit in timeout or whatever. Without going, well, why? Why can't I lie? Why is it so wrong that I lie? And then to take them to the law and tell them why it's wrong to lie and show them how wicked our hearts are that we just naturally lie. And keep in mind, when I did this, it's with a three-year-old. So like talking to their level, that it hurts God, that it, you know, it makes God sad. And you're using language that they understand, yeah. Not like it breaks the covenant. They don't get that. But like Lucy, when you lie, it hurts God's heart. That makes him sad. And then to take that opportunity then to talk about Jesus, like Lucy's not a Christian yet. I think that's hard for some parents too. Yeah. Well, my kids are Christians. Yeah. No, and if they have, like Lucy and Ruby, they're lost. And I have to remind myself that they're not followers of Jesus yet. And you go, oh, right. So to try and take that moment to preach the gospel to them, and they haven't come to a moment of surrender, and we're praying that they will. Mm-hmm. But they're not. So I can't just be like, we don't lie because we follow Jesus. They don't follow Jesus yet. So you go, oh, right. So you preach law to them. Yeah. And when we discipline them, whether it's spanking, which I think, you know, might be appropriate for lying, or whether it's a timeout or whatever you use, they have to understand that it's because of the law. We're teaching them the law of God. Did you want to, because you've, me and you have talked about this. Did you want to add anything to that? Like,
well, just, yeah, I think I just, yeah, I want to reinforce that. I guess the whole law concept that, you know, especially when they're younger, they can't be reasoned with. You're going to be dealing with the law to show them God's standard, God's holiness and that grace and love. But, and sometimes it's just hard to think that about our own kids. But it has to start there.
Yeah, so. And I think if you're a person that never disciplines your kids, then you're not teaching them the gospel, really, because then all of a sudden they're hearing maybe in Sunday school or in church, well, it's wrong to sin, but mom and dad never disciplined me for doing these wrong things, so... Mm-hmm. Why do I need the gospel, right? So I think when you discipline your kids, you're showing them that they desperately need Jesus. And as they get older, I think they'll begin to realize that,
yeah.
As you discipline them and take that opportunity to say, wow, like, isn't it amazing? And like preaching the gospel, isn't it amazing that Jesus saves us from this? We don't have to live like this anymore. And like I said, age appropriate, mm-hmm. Like you have to I don't want to use the word dumb it down, but you have to speak to their level.
Yep.
Like they don't understand atonement and all these things. So just, isn't it amazing that Jesus died for us, that he makes it so we don't have to do this anymore? Like, so even like, so the example with lying, with Lucy, and honestly, I don't know if it's stuck, but that's not the point. The point is to be consistent. But we disciplined her, and we took that time, instead of just, here's your discipline, don't lie. I even asked her, like, Lucy, why is it wrong to lie? And she didn't know. She was just, I don't know. And it took that opportunity to try and apply some law and say, well, it actually, like I said, I said, it hurts God's heart. I can't remember other words I used. You know, it makes God sad. It's... I can't remember other words. I know I didn't use words like honoring because she doesn't really understand that, but kind of it hurts God's heart. And she gets that. And I said, it hurts mommy and daddy's heart, right? Because you're hurting us when you lie. And then I tried to, you know, so she's trying to understand that. And then just to say like, and you know what? It's amazing that Jesus died for us so that we actually don't have to lie anymore. We don't have to be afraid to tell the truth. Even if it's, you know, those consequences, but we don't have to lie. We don't have to cover anything up anymore because Jesus died. And you know, she's kind of okay, yeah, and then she goes in place. But I think to try and lay that foundation, we just thought, we don't want to miss this opportunity to tell her about Jesus. Like I said, hoping that one day it clicks and she goes, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. Now, that takes a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're stretching out your time that you have to do this. It's a lot harder to do that. Some parents I've talked to after we preached about it, they said, I tried to do that this week. They said, man, I'm exhausted. It is. It's harder to do that instead of just punishment. Now I can get on with to sit down and we're going to have a conversation. I'm going to point them to Jesus. It's a lot harder.
Totally.
But in the long run, it is so worth it to do that with your kids.
Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful.
Yeah.
And this is even talking about God disciplining us.
Yeah.
Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So God's discipline is loving, as it should be, between a parent and child, but it's gonna cause work, and there's gonna be pain.
Yeah,
and you know, like that saying, "Son, this is gonna hurt me more than it hurts you." Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is true. I mean, we want them to be obedient. We want them to listen. But there's times where you have to stick it out. And even as Andrew was talking about Lucy there, explaining the lying thing and that it hurts Jesus, and then they do it again. And I think one of my daughters asked, like, does God not love me anymore now because Whoa. I sinned again, or do you not love me anymore?
Yeah.
And so then we had an opportunity to talk about forgiveness and what it cost to purchase forgiveness. And that, you know, we don't want to lie, but even when we do, we can actually go to mom and dad and say, I'm sorry, and we'll forgive you, and God will do the same thing. So that was really neat how they captured that. Okay, now I did sin again. Am I done here? Is that it? Because I tried not to, but it happened.
That's really cool.
So that was good how they were processing this. Yeah. So there are times when you think they're not listening, and then when something else happens, they recall what you've been telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are picking up this concept. I know even after disciplining our kids, I mean, they always wanted a hug. Like there was this just, they knew they had crossed the line. And, and we've already explained before that, you know, now that you know this is wrong to lie, the next time you lie, then there will be a time order. There will be punishment because it's so serious that we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
So just so you know. So then, when it happens again, they're just terrified. Like, will dad love me? And there's always a hug after, you know, discipline is administered, and they just want to know, do you still love me? Well, of course I do. Yeah. And that's why I'm doing this, because I do love you, even though you may not get that right now.
And I think the temptation is when they do that again and they know, oh boy. For me, the temptation is, okay, I'm just going to go soft on them. You know, they know. I can tell they know. But no, I think don't. Because like with Lucy, with the lying thing, we told her like lying is serious and you will be disciplined first time. There is no like, okay, well, you lied. If you do it again, then it was like, no, as soon as. But the temptation is when she lies, then it's like, oh, okay, well, if you do it again, right? But and you can see on their face, they know, oh, shoot, discipline's coming. But to follow through with it, because then you're actually showing them that it is serious.
Yeah.
That, you know, like without law, then grace makes no sense. Because you apply it to the gospel without bad news that we're all sinners headed to an eternity in hell. We can't save ourselves. Without bad news, then the good news isn't good. It's just like, okay, well, great.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I think if they don't understand the discipline and the consequences of sin, then they're not going to get grace later on, because it's...
That's a good point, because as they, you know, realize every sin is going to be dealt with, and then you start being able to explain to them that God will pay, like every sin will be paid for by death. And then you start, whoa.
Yeah.
And then God put all our sin on Jesus.
Yeah.
And he actually died on the cross because of our sin, mine and yours.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that's what you'll be able to explain as they start realizing that every sin is going to be dealt with. And it's that serious. I mean, different sins or different things, you'll have to work through that. But those that they know and they cross the line, and then they know, oh no, this is going to be dealt with again. And that's exactly what happened on the cross.
Yeah.
Like every sin was dealt with.
Yeah.
And so even with that whole area of discipline, you're moving them towards understanding the gospel and hopefully accepting that. But you're pointing them to that. There's a goal that you're going to, And that's part of what Hebrews said later on. This discipline produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You're training them to head for the gospel and hopefully accept it sooner the better.
Yeah.
But hopefully eventually they will understand and go, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Why sin needed to be punished, why it was that serious, and I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, and I think one of the best things you can do is, and obviously, like, appropriately, but confess sin to your kids, your own sin. Like, and I don't mean like, okay, Lucy, sit down, let me tell you all the terrible things I've done. But I think the tendency is, and I said this in a sermon once, and I've caught myself doing it, is, Lucy, don't lie. We don't lie in this household. And then it's like, the Spirit of God reminds me, oh, like, Andrew, you lied last week. I'm like, oh, yeah, shoot.
Whoops.
So you're putting this standard, and again, you're not showing your kids the gospel, but to confess your sins to, if you do lie or something or whatever it is, I don't know, but to explain, like, Daddy needs Jesus too. Isn't that amazing? Like, I mess up too, And again, it's another opportunity to show what the gospel is, and that it's not that your, like, kids are trying to live up to your standards. They're trying to live up to God's standards, and we all need the grace of Jesus. That can be hard because we don't like to show our kids that we're sinners too, because it's like, it's vulnerable. And
yeah, Dad, you broke a promise.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But to, apologize and confess to your kids when you've messed up. I think that is so powerful, because then it's, and I shared this, like, we had lots of teens that would say, yeah, my parents tell me to follow Jesus, but they don't. So to have moments where you can actually confess sin and say, hey, I messed up, can you forgive me? Pray together for forgiveness from Jesus. Then it shows your kids that, oh, wow, you actually believe this. You actually live this out. Okay, it's not just lip service, and you're not just trying to make me do it. You actually do this too. I think that's really powerful. Mm-hmm. So take opportunities to tell your kids that, hey, your parents need Jesus too. This is not just you. Like, when I lie, I have to confess that to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. And I think that can be super powerful. Yeah, I'll share a story too. It was funny. This is kind of on an aside, in a Francis Chan book that I read, he was talking about teaching his daughter about grace. And so his daughter, this is when she was older, came home, and she had failed a test because she didn't study, and she knew, like, oh, shoot, I'm going to be punished. I'm going to go to my room, and Dad's going to come in, and oh, because I totally was irresponsible. I didn't study. I failed. And so in his mind, he said, I'm going to take this moment to teach my kid about grace. So he went to the room and, okay, let's go out. And he took her out for ice cream and to a movie. And she was like, what?
What's going on here?
And he kind of prefaced it by saying, like, I don't reward bad behavior. This was a one-time event. And then he sat down and talked to her about, this is what grace is. You totally did not deserve ice cream. You deserved punishment and maybe a spank or whatever. You deserved me to come down hard on you, but I took you out for ice cream. And then he got to talk, like, that's what Jesus does for us. We deserve punishment for our sin and our rebellion. And yet, you think about it, like, we're welcomed into God's family. We're called his children. We're adopted. We're forgiven. We're cleansed. Jesus gives us his righteousness. So he said it was a nice one-time event, but he said the next day, all of her friends are waiting at school. Oh, man, is she going to be dead? And she comes in, and she's smiling, and I had ice cream and this and that, and they were like, what? So then she got to tell her friends about, well, yeah, my dad was teaching me a lesson about this and that, and I'm like, that's cool. But don't do it every time.
One-time event.
One time in their life they're allowed to be. But again, I'm like, it just struck me is that Francis saw this opportunity. Okay, I'm going to use this opportunity to teach my kids about the gospel. And I think so often we don't have that mindset when it comes to discipline. It's just, I need to correct bad behavior and quickly punish them, and then it's over with. We don't have long term, right? Yeah. This Hebrews 12, that it yields this peaceful fruit of righteousness. We don't think long term. We just think in the moment, I'm going to discipline. I'm tired. Let's get it over with. Or I'm not going to bother disciplining because I'm too tired and it's not worth the battle. But to think, okay, longer term, how do I apply the law to my kids' hearts? And then how do I preach the gospel to my kids' hearts? That's the mindset we need to have.
Yes.
Do you have any stories of little victories with your kids where you had moments where it seemed to, I mean, you kind of shared the, you know, does God not love me anymore? That was a cool moment. But I don't know, do you have any other moments where it worked?
Discipline worked.
I'm totally putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I got to think 30 years ago. Well, I mean, I guess there's been several little things where when you followed through on discipline, whether it was lying or one of our children was, you know, kind of a hair puller and you had to try to deal with this. And so I know with the one hair puller, a couple times we pulled her hair and she didn't like that very much. But we said, how do you like it if we pull your hair every time you pull someone else's hair? Well, that didn't go so good. And we started explaining, you know, doesn't that hurt? It doesn't feel very good either. Yeah. And that's how it feels. And so all of a sudden she got it and stopped. So yeah, there's several, I can't remember a lot of specific ones, but just staying the course.
Yes.
And disciplining and working on it yielded, I guess, a harvest of righteousness where for some it took a little longer, but some it was maybe a one-time deal. But then they realized that, yeah, lying is wrong. And even if you don't think it's wrong, it's going to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Because it is that serious. And then they start getting it. So I guess the biggest thing is just, like you said, sometimes it's exhausting following through.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. And we've seen the results of some of that. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, to be consistent. And I think to husband and wife, to be on the same page, and if you've never actually sat down and talked about how are we going to discipline our kids, then that's going to be a disaster because if one parent is coming down hard, applying the law, preaching the gospel, and the other doesn't discipline at all, then there's no consistency. So I think to be on, not saying that you both discipline the exact same way, but to at least be on the same page so that, and that's what me and Molly, we often tell the girls because they'll do this. They're manipulative. They'll go to one or the other and try and do, and we always say, no, sorry, mommy and daddy are on the same team, so you're not going to get a different answer.
That's a very good moment when they come to you, dad, can we do this? What did mom say? She said no.
And also,
well, then we're going with no.
Yeah, exactly.
You and little
like,
tricker.
I'm smarter than you. It might not look like it, but I'm smarter than you. But we'll often tell them, because then like if Molly, you know, disciplines them and they're crying and they go, daddy, I said, sorry, I am on mommy's side always. And they're like, oh, okay. And they're learning, like they can't manipulate us. But even one of the things I try, so I'll share, this past week has been rough. And two nights ago, we had like an hour and a half battle with Lucy about bedtime, and I'll share what it was about. And some people might say, oh, that's so trivial, just let it go. But no, we're trying to get Lucy to this place where she can, you know, make it through the night without wetting the bed. And so it was like, okay, here's your last drink. Okay, Lucy, this is your last drink. No more after this. And then it was just throwing a fit about wanting another drink. And some people might say, and I had that thought, oh, let's just give her a drink so she shuts up. But it was like, no, because I want her to know that when mommy and daddy say something, we mean it. And we don't bend and we're in charge and you don't disobey us. But it, like, honestly, it was like 90 minutes of screaming and kicking and just terrible behavior over a glass of water. But it was funny because we stuck the course and I was exhausted. And we said, no, we're not bending on this because I want this to be a moment where she knows that we're in charge and you don't disobey us and you don't. And then it became more, you don't act like this. We don't scream and kick and punch people. But it was neat because in one moment, because we kind of tag team because I couldn't do it for that long. But she's screaming at Molly and kicking. And so I came into the room and I grabbed her and I took her to our room. And I basically said, like, on one hand, I said, listen, mommy is my best friend. And so she kind of like, oh, shoot.
This isn't going in the
group. So I didn't do the whole, like, you don't act like that. I said, listen, you do not treat my best friend like that. And she went, oh, and you could see, like, oh, shoot, I crossed the line. And that's where it kind of almost ended, where we got to this place of, but it was neat seeing, like, and it was a chance for me to honor Molly and affirm her in the eyes of the girls and to show, like, you don't treat your mother like that. But I used best friend language because she gets that. And that's when it was like, oh no, I'm in trouble now. But we went to bed and we high-fived each other and we said, we did it. I said, we won. And it may sound petty, but I said, we won. And the next night, did she do the same thing? No, she went to bed. Because I think she knew that, okay, mom and dad are serious. When they say something, they mean it. And I can't manipulate them and I can't kick against that. So it was terrible. But we stuck the course and we had a little victory celebration, high-fived each other. Woo! We did it. We won. We didn't lose to a three-year-old.
She put her hairy toe on the line.
She did. And I think it was this moment of, I'm going to test. Because I'm like, yeah, sure, it was water and we could have caved. But I really do think it was, and Don shared about each one of his kids had that moment of, I'm going to just test this. Are you actually in charge? Are you actually going to follow? And so, yeah, it was this moment of defiance that she said, I think I'm going to go for broke and I'm going to see if they'll toe the line and if they're actually in charge. And so we said, okay, here we go. Here's the moment.
Into the octagon.
I'm like, Ruby, pay attention so you don't make these same mistakes. But I think, yeah, to enter the battle, and it is exhausting, but to not, like Hebrews says, that it's going to yield a harvest of righteousness, that it seems pointless at the time, but mm-hmm. I think long term, you go, okay, it was worth it. Hopefully that. So I even think another example quickly. So if your kids are screaming and yelling at each other, yeah, you could say, stop yelling at each other. But I think then to go to talk about how we use our words, but then even to go, okay, let's talk about Jesus. And this might work better with older kids, but okay, when Jesus was nailed to the cross and people were yelling at him and swearing at him, what did he do? Did he yell back? Did he swear back? No, what? He was silent. And so because Jesus died on the cross, he actually gives us the ability that we don't have to talk like that anymore. And the words that we use can honor God. That's so different than just, because I said so, don't yell at your sister. It's this opportunity to go, well, why? And actually, how are we actually possible to use our words? It's only by Jesus. So I think to know that the gospel speaks into all of these types of situations, and then to take the time to saturate your kids in the truth of the gospel and the truth of the law, I think that's... that's what Paul's talking about when he says the discipline of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give God a fighting chance when they leave home.
Yeah, I like that Don says that. So God's like, what? Oh man, now look what I got to work with. Thanks a lot.
Sorry, God.
But yeah, I think that's the goal, that they would know and serve Jesus. So when in your discipline, that you're constantly pointing them to the gospel and to Jesus. And to know too that, like, you can't save your kids. I think that's the hard part. Yeah. You can't save them. It's not your responsibility to save your kids. I remember one author said, when you're disciplining and you're instructing your kids, you're gathering the kindling, right? And then you're asking, okay, only the Spirit of God can light them up. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, we discipline and we instruct, but me and Molly, we pray, okay, God, only you can soften their hearts. Only you can save them. I can't. And that's frustrating humanly, because I would love to save my girls, but you can't. And so that's where you pray that God would save them. But your part is that you are constantly pushing them, pointing them towards Jesus and the gospel, praying that one day it clicks, right, and it makes sense to them.
Yeah, just a couple practical things.
Sure.
You know, when I was just starting out in the whole family way, I didn't have a great example disciplining in my home, so I felt, I'm in over my head here. So something to do, too, is I looked at couples that were a few years ahead, and I just went and talked to the dad. I said, hey, I see you're, you know, getting involved, doing looks like you're doing well. What are some things you would say do, and what are some things you would look back and say, don't do that?
Yeah.
And that was really helpful to talk to some of the guys like that. So if you're finding you're in over your head, maybe with the young family or even wherever, just look for some couples that you can talk to and actually ask them. You might gain some really valuable advice. And I guess the big encouragement is to stay the course, maintain your own relationship with God, and stay the course in disciplining and training.
Yeah.
Your kids, it's a tough job, but we just want to encourage you to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so hopefully that's been encouraging, and as a plug, like Dawn and Emily and Gwen are doing a parent equipping night, and I'm sure they'll talk about some of this kind of stuff, but how do we, as a church, equip you as parents? And so that's what, April 7th?
April 7th, from this Friday.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock here at the church, and so we would invite all parents from zero to teenagers to come. And we, as a church, want to equip you. Like, what are some tools that you can have to walk through kind of each stage?
And even had a parent come in today. How do I start conversations about, you know, sex and sexuality with my sons? Haven't really gone there yet.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about that. How do you start engaging in some of those conversations? And so, yeah.
Yeah, so come on out April 7th, next Friday at 7, and we just want to equip you and help you raise your kids and discipline them and instruct them so that they hopefully, by God's grace, love and serve Jesus. So,
amen.
Amen. And God bless.